Welcome to the Spiritual Lifestyle Podcast, formerly known as Chapters of Motherhood. I'm your host, Veronica Moss, and I've returned with an evolved vision. I'm currently in studio passionately crafting brand new episodes set to officially debut in the spring of 2024. We now focus on promoting spiritual growth in all areas of life, including career, relationships, and mindful parenting. While you're waiting for the new season to kick off, why not revisit some of the classics? We've got your favorite episodes from Chapters of Motherhood lined up for your enjoyment. So sit back, relax, and let the Spiritual Lifestyle Podcast lead you on a journey of self-discovery and growth. Stay tuned. Welcome to your renewed spiritual sanctuary, the Spiritual Lifestyle Podcast. Welcome to Chapters of Motherhood Podcast. Today I am joined with Victoria Moore, aka Yogi Mommy. She is an author, educator, and natural mystic. And today she's joining us to talk about her grief journey. Welcome, Victoria.
Thank you, Veronica. Thank you for having me.
So with your grief journey, I wanted to see if we can start at the beginning. Like, you're recently a widowed, and I'm very sorry for your loss. Can you take me back to almost the beginning? Can you tell me about your relationship and when you got married?
Yeah, well, it was, okay, we would have been married 11 years before he passed, and we met about 14 years ago. So we had a wonderful relationship, actually. We fell in love right away. We moved in right away, got engaged within a year, and got married about a year after that, and everything was great in our marriage. He had struggled with depression earlier in college. His family has depression and mental history on their side. And so, but it was never really anything that seemed to come up until probably about, I would say last. So about a year before it happened, he had just been stressed out with work. Our marriage was still, you know, everything was good, but there was just stresses, you know? I mean, we live in an expensive city. We wanted to have a house, but everywhere in our area was just a little too expensive. And so we were talking about, you know, relocating, but then that meant, you know, leaving our friends, our family, our support system. And so we kind of had stresses in those areas. But I did not think that it was anything that could not have been overcome, but he was just kind of struggling with it. And so that's kind of when the problems really started, between talks of him leaving his career or changing careers and, you know, moving, relocating, just kind of began to become a big source of stress to him.
Okay.
So, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, did you start noticing like any type of depression happening at that time, or did you just think it was stress?
I thought it was just stress. Yeah, to me, it was just stress. I mean, I knew that he was unhappy with his job and that he didn't know what he wanted to do instead. And I did not recognize it, I guess, as depression. But I was so busy on my end between, you know, homeschooling my children and working from home. And so maybe I just didn't have experience with depression, I guess, on my end. I had never experienced that myself, and I never really had been around anybody who had. So.
And how many children do you have together?
We have two children. We have a daughter and a son.
Okay. And it seemed like home life was going well, or was anything out of the ordinary?
Yeah, no, everything was going great. You know, everything was happy. Basically, like I said, he was unhappy with his job. And so we had, he had been on a leave. He had gone to a doctor, and he was on a medical leave for depression. And I had said, you know, your job, it's not worth it. If it's causing that much stress and it's making you that unhappy, you know, let's let's make something work and let's try to find something else. I was very supportive in trying to help him find something that would make him happy. We were supposed to be moving, and then he took his life.
Okay. Was he taking any type of medication at that point?
He had been trying a couple different medications to see, none of them seemed to be working for him. Okay. He didn't like how they were making him feel, and so he was trying a couple different ones. And then I was trying to do some natural things on my end as far as, you know, kind of like coping techniques like meditation and journaling. And I had trained, with a clinical psychologist for about a year before that. And so I had been working with people with like PTSD and depression and all sorts of things. And so I was trying to use some of those techniques to work with him. But that was a little challenging. It's hard to work. So to do that type of work with somebody who's like a partner, a spouse, because sometimes they don't want to open up completely to you. Right. They don't want to get that vulnerable. And so there was a lot of kind of struggle with that. And so, but I was trying to, you know, just kind of get him into doing some different things, you know, journaling so that he could, you know, do some self-awareness and kind of learn what his, you know, what was bothering him, what was the, you know, true root of the problem.
Okay. And was he open to seeing somebody other than you? Because, yeah, I can understand where it would be hard for a partner to open up or even just not so much trust you, but just be vulnerable with you.
Yeah.
And yeah. Did he try to like seek other help, maybe other counseling?
Well, he was seeing a doctor, but the doctor was not really doing much in the form of therapy. And so that's where we were trying to get, you know, some additional work going, additional, you know, people for him to talk to or see or additional support. But it just never happened. It was kind of too late at that point.
Okay. Can we go back to like the family life and your typical day with just like the family? Like what was something that you all would do for fun? And like, did the kids notice anything?
Like notice like that he was depressed, or what do you mean?
Right. About? Like, yeah. Like did the kids like, oh, we got to be quiet for daddy, you know, type of thing like that?
Or well, were they just yeah. like, At that point, yeah, because he was on leave, and so he was not working at the time. So he was home with us for, you know, months. And so I worked from home, and then we homeschool, and he was on leave. And so it was, you know, we were just there all day, every day together. And he would do things like sometimes he would go on a bike ride or, you know, something like that. But, yeah, he was just kind of like he would go take naps. Or he was just tired and lethargic. So at that point, yeah, there was a lot of the depression setting in. And so, yeah, we did. They noticed it.
Okay. Do you mind talking about how you started with your grief journey? So afterwards, he took his life. You spent time to mourn and with the children. Like, what would you, do you mind me asking about the children? Like, what did you tell them? How did they cope with it?
Well, I mean, I told them pretty much right away. Unfortunately, when it happened, they were sleeping when it happened. It happened very early in the morning and they were in the house. I was outside, trying to be quiet, you know, talking to the police and, everything, because I didn't want them to wake up. And so when I came in the house, they saw the ambulances and the fire trucks and the police, and they kind of were excited at first for some reason. They didn't really understand what was going on. And at the time we lived in, the complex that we lived in, our neighbor, the paramedics would come to get her a lot. She would have problems and the ambulance would have to come get her. And so they thought it was in regards to her. And so they said, oh, you know, I think they're here for our neighbor. And I said, no, they're here for dad. And so that was really hard. That was really hard because nobody prepares you to have to deliver that type of news to your children. And so in that moment, you don't know what to tell them. You don't know the right thing to tell them, the wrong thing to tell them. And so that to me was really a difficult one. But I was, you know, I was just honest and that's all I could do, right. You know, so they were old enough and, you know, they already kind of knew something was going on, and I just knew it wasn't something that I could keep from them.
Right. And honesty is best for them, for them and for everybody involved. So how were you able to cope in the beginning? Because I follow you on Instagram and I see you and I'm like, oh, look, she's, I mean, I know that you're mourning. I know you're grieving, but it seemed like you also had time for fun. And I thought, it seems like she's doing good, but I mean, I can't speak from experience. I don't have that kind of experience. So I noticed you and I'm like, it looks like she's doing good, but.
Yeah. No, thank you. You know, we are, it's weird. So I have an amazing support system. I'm born and raised here. So I have, you know, lots of family and I'm, you know, Portuguese, Italian. So we just have like a big family. So the support system was just so important in the beginning because I had so many people just like rallying around me and helping me with everything that I need or needed at the time. You know, I had mentioned we were in the process of moving. We were supposed to be out of our house in a week when he passed. So here I am with, you know, half my house in boxes, you know, half my house and stuff in boxes, and I'm dealing with this. And so I just had, you know, a group of people that just like came in and they packed everything for me and got everything taken care of. And so I just had a lot of help in the beginning, you know, my family, my sisters, friends, all of that. So that was very, very helpful. And then my audience too, all the sweet messages, like it was just totally, oh gosh, it gave me so much just positive energy and love. And I just felt so supported when I would go online and just read everybody's like kind messages and stuff. And that was so helpful in getting through this.
And for the children, how were they, what would you suggest? Now, you know, unfortunately, you have experience in it. So what would you suggest for how would a parent help their child cope?
Well, for me, I knew that my children were looking at me to set an example of, you know, what to do in this type of experience. And I had no idea how to handle this. I just knew I had to be strong for them. And not that I went out of my way to be strong. Like I would cry when I needed to cry. I let them know that, you know, it's okay to miss them and it's okay to cry and it's okay to be angry. You're going to be angry too, you know, especially with, you know, this type of loss. And I don't know. Kids are resilient, you know, like they kind of feed off your energy. And I knew that I had the opportunity to where if I wanted to, you know, be a complete crying mess on the floor, not get out of bed for, you know, months, that I could have that option. But they already lost their dad. I didn't want them to lose their mom to grief. I wanted them to just, you know that, you know, things happen to us in life. We don't get to choose the bad stuff that happens to us, but we can kind of choose how we move forward from them. You know, we're not just going to move on. It's something that happened. It's something that's always going to affect us. And it's somebody that we love very much and who we're always going to miss, but we can move forward, you know, in a positive way and with love and with grace. And so I just kind of set that example for them and they pick up on it.
Now, with your professional experience, you know, you do yoga, you do wellness. Gosh, I think you also do hypnotherapy and meditation. So with all those tools, did that help you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think for me, that's what helped me tremendously because I do so many things to kind of activate my parasympathetic nervous system. I didn't go, when it came to go into like fight or flight mode or when it came to, you know, pick or choose, I just kind of like was naturally able to kind of handle it. I was able to handle the stress easier. I didn't freak out, like, especially in the moment when everything happened, when everything went down, when I was having to deal with the police and my kids are there, you know, I was able to kind of act quickly because I didn't seem very panicked, you know, I was like almost calm in, you know, amidst all the chaos. So that, I don't know, it definitely helped with that. And then just having those tools to use to help my children too, you know. We've done lots and lots and lots of journaling. I mean, we've gone to counselors and things like that, but I do a lot with them too, like, you know, talking to them and journaling and things like that.
Okay. And so now your motherhood journey has changed because of this grief journey. So how do you balance them both?
I'm still trying to figure out. it's definitely been a wild ride. It's not anything that I've ever, you know, anything that I ever planned on. It's completely different than even, say, you know, being in a position to where if we got divorced or separated, because I would, you know, we'd be able to co-parent. So now it's like I'm completely, it's me on my own. And it's crazy. But we're making it work. You know, again, like I have lots of support. I have lots of people that I can rely on. If I need help with the kids, you know, I can always reach out. But yeah, it's kind of, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out.
Okay. And on the outside, I'm seeing what you're doing and I'm thinking, okay, so she's not allowing this grief to overcome her. She's trying to put on that brave face and she's making time for fun, which is allowed, and, you know, for friends and for family. And I think that, I don't know, from the way that I see, I feel like, okay, she's handling it good. Like she's an inspiration.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And yeah. I can only assume how hard it must really be inside.
Yeah. It's, you know, I have my days, like some days are harder than others. Some days it's weird. It's like trying to find a new normal, trying to find a new life. I don't know. And then grief, you know, like right now I'll cry. Grief will just smack you out of nowhere. You know, like you'll just be driving down the road. You'll hear a song and you'll just cry. And, you know, and then 5 minutes later, you'll be totally fine. So, that part's been weird. I've never experienced grief like this to where all of a sudden you're just sitting there and I was like, oh my gosh, I was buried. Like, ew, that's like, it's so weird. It's like sometimes it seems like it was 5 minutes ago and then other times it seems like it was 100 years ago. So that part can be weird. And then, yeah, just having to, you have all these memories and then you have to try to create, you know, new traditions. So I don't know. It's weird. Life's weird.
Did you want to talk more about the wellness, the business that you do? Or?
Okay. Well, I do have basically what has come from all this is I've always been passionate in helping people live happier and healthier. And now I am focusing even more on the emotional part of it because I feel like that is a component that isn't focused on enough in our society. I think that if we should spend, you know, 45 to 60 minutes a day on physical wellness, exercising and things, we should spend at least that, if not double, on emotional wellness, doing things like, you know, meditating and journaling and reading something positive or some form of self-care, something for emotional wellness. I think it's just very important. And I'm focusing a lot on that, working with people. I offer my emotional energy healing sessions every month that are free, where I just kind of talk about the benefits of emotional wellness. And every month I do something different. So some sort of, usually like a hypno meditation or form of distance Reiki, something, you know, one of my little things that I, different modalities that I share with people. And then I have a meditation album for grief and loss that I'm coming out with in a couple weeks. So I'm excited to share that as well.
Oh, that's really good. Now, do you find that it's the majority of women are taking care of their emotional health as opposed to men? Or are we finally starting to see a flip where, or not flip, but like a balance where men are starting to be accountable for their emotional wellness?
Well, I definitely think that we are creating space to let men know that they're not alone in their thoughts. I think that that's something that is huge because a few years ago, even a couple years ago, that wasn't something that was really talked about. And now, you know, you'll see different memes and stuff going around, not memes, but like, you know, like quotes and stuff going around on like Facebook or Instagram, you know, letting guys know that, hey, you know, it's okay to feel like this and it's okay to talk and you're not alone. So I think that we're creating more space for it. And hopefully guys are coming more forward. I know I get a lot of messages from people thanking me for sharing my experience and what I've gone through and letting me know that I've change them. And I've even had people tell me, you know, you've saved my life. You know, I've thought about taking my own life, but I read what you say and I read your experience and I've seen how it impacted you and your family and I changed my mind. So that's kind of powerful. And I've had both men and women send me these types of messages. So the way that I feel is if I could just save even just, you know, anybody from taking their life, then I'm, you know, I'm happy to share my journey with people because I think it's something that's important.
Right. And people do find the inspiration and just seeing your strength and they're inspired by it for sure.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I know that you said you needed to start new traditions and finding your new normal. So what do you find that is helpful? Or what do you find that you just need to let go? Okay, that didn't work. That's not my new normal. So I got to let that go.
Well, one thing, like, I just try to not put too much expectations on anything. Just kind of like showing my kids, like, basically being very open with them, like, hey, you know, this is all new to me too. This is a new life for all of us. I don't know. I'm not going to do things perfectly. I'm probably going to make mistakes along the way. And just, I'm being honest with them, you know, that sometimes things, like I said, sometimes things happen in our life that we don't get to plan and we have to completely start from square one. And I think that what that's going to do is let them know later in life, you know, when something similar happens, they're going to say, okay, you know, I remember how my mom handled it. I remember my mom, you know, she tried her best and she did this. And so hopefully that'll set the example for them. But just trying to like show them that, you know, we can move forward and we could still have fun, even though we experienced this, you know, horrible tragedy and this horrible loss. We can still smile and have fun and remember him. We're not forgetting him. You know, he would want us to be happy and, you know, live on in a positive, happy way. And so we just try to do fun things. We try to go to the movies and we have like our free nights. And so like once a week, we have a free night where we get, you know, we go out somewhere, we order in from Uber Eats or something like that. And they have a lot of fun with that. And we'll like watch movies and I don't know, just kind of do things that are different than how they were in our last life. I kind of, like I said, I kind of refer to it as like I'm living like a different life, like my past life and then this new life. So just kind of showing them that, yeah, we can kind of move forward in a positive way.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of that before where it's like, it's death and rebirth.
Yeah.
Of just life, of relationships, of, you know, family life in this case. And so you're right now at the point of rebirth.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand. Tell me a little bit. I missed it, actually. You had a meditation, was it yesterday or 2 days ago?
Oh, yeah, it was yesterday. The it's an emotional energy healing session. And so, yeah, it's just like 45 minutes to an hour. And I do, like yesterday was a hypno meditation just for things like anxiety and worry and grief and all sorts of, you know, fun, different emotions that affect us.
And then so you're offering that for free right now. I definitely want to do link it. So where can I know that you have a website and you offer a couple of freebies. Do you mind plugging them?
Yeah. So I could send you the link for them too. But when you go to my blog, I have on there right now, it's the emotional energy healing, has all the information. Or you can go to my calendar and see the dates on there because the dates are going to change every month because I'm a widowed mom and my schedule is crazy and it's not going to be the same every month. But I will post on there when, you know, every month I will put the date up there. And then I also have a new guide that pops up when you go to my website, actually. And it's the journal, benefits of journaling. And then there's 30 days of journal prompts for emotional wellness.
Okay. Can we talk really quick? We have time. Can we talk really quick about your homeschooling journey?
Sure.
What prompted you to start homeschooling?
Well, we've always homeschooled. Okay. My children have never been in traditional school. When I was home with my children when they were younger, I was working from home. And when it came time for my daughter to go to school, I was not ready for her to go to school. I wanted her to stay home longer. So we decided, since kindergarten was not mandatory, that we were going to homeschool for kindergarten and see how it went. And I fell in love with it, and we just always continued it.
That's great. Now, did you have any type of, I don't want to say training, but like guideline or any, were you schooled in it? Like, what would the average mom like me, what do I need to do to homeschool my kids?
Well, I was kind of lucky because I was married to a teacher. So my husband was an elementary school teacher. So I knew that I always had him to fall back on to ask any questions and to have as a resource, obviously, because we were homeschooling. But he was also, you know, he was teaching all day. So I, you know, I was essentially the one teaching. But in California, they make it easy because I, so there's different ways that you could homeschool. You can register yourself as like a private school, and then you do everything yourself. I did not want to do that because I didn't really know what to do. I wanted to make it easy. So I signed up through a charter, and what they do is different charters do it differently. The charter that I had first signed up with, they give you all the books and the curriculum and stuff. And then they had 2 days of on-site classes, and then you do the rest at home. So I had, they gave me all the books and they told me what to do. And we had, you know, a whole, you know, plan, and it was all set up. And like I said, she would go. And then when he was old enough, he went too, 2 days a week.
Okay.
And we did that for a while. And then I wanted a little bit more freedom. So then we transitioned into a different charter where you can opt out of them giving you curriculum, and you can pick your own, whatever works for you. And then you can use your funds, because they give you funds for, like I said, for books or enrichment classes or activities. You can use your funds in different ways. And so that is what we are currently doing now. And they still do 2 days of on-site classes, and then we do the rest at home, and we love it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so then there's a lot of options. It's not like, okay, we're going to homeschool all on our own. So there's actually help out there.
There's lots of help, lots of resources. And we're so lucky because we live in an age of information. So there's so many online resources too. YouTube's and video and Khan's Academy and just, you know, all these different programs that you could use for anything, for science, for social studies, for math, for writing. It makes it, I don't know. We love it. And I feel that my kids are really excelling because it's a 2-to-1 ratio versus, you know, a classroom that is, you know, 32 kids to one teacher.
Right. Now, what do you say to the people that say, well, how do they socialize with other kids?
I love when people say that. I think it's hilarious, especially if you meet my kids, because my kids are probably some of the most socialized kids ever. They can have conversations with a baby to a 100-year-old person. And there's no lack of socializing. During the day, they're with me and we do, you know, our book work and activities, but we're also out running errands. So they're socializing with people in the real world. We're going to the store, we're going to the post office, we're going to the restaurants and this and that. And we're talking to people. I don't, you know, I don't tie them to the water cooler. I don't hide them in a cave. You know, I mean, they go out in public. And then when their friends get off of school, they're home and they go outside and play with them, you know, until it gets dark and they come back home. So there's, for at least for my kids, there's no lack of socialization going on.
Okay, that's great. What about, aren't there like certain co-ops or groups where like meetups that you can homeschooling families can just get together, like at the park or like,
oh yeah,
you know what I mean? Like those co-ops that I had heard of those before. Do you belong to any type of like homeschooling mom groups?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's so much stuff. There's so many, like I said, there's so many resources and stuff. And if you go onto Facebook, there's a lot of groups on there. So you could find different groups in your area. And a lot of them, like there could be, you know, one for different cities, or there could be one for, you know, like Southern California or Northern California or Central California. And so I belong to a couple different ones. And then, yeah, people are always posting in there like different park days and different co-ops and different. So it's very easy to find people to hang out with. There's actually a really large homeschooling community. And we are always like at parks or museums or all sorts of fun places. We love it.
And that, I think that's what attracts me. It's like, oh, I want to do all these, like, every day could be a field trip day. You know what I mean? And I think that that's what I want to do, but I'm not very confident in my teaching skills because I get frustrated and I don't want to yell at my kids. So then I'm like, all right, forget it. Don't do homework.
Yeah. So,
and then I know that they said, well, there's unschooling. I'm like, if I do unschooling, they'll never learn anything because I get too frustrated when I can't teach them. So I don't know. I feel like I know that it's kind of counterintuitive, but I'm thinking, like, can someone just offer a class on how to homeschool?
Well, see, you'd be surprised because kids are natural learners. So we don't completely unschool, but I am not organized when it comes to things like that. Like, I try to be, but I'm just not by nature. So what I love about it is sometimes I have, like, really good intentions, like, oh my gosh, we're going to learn about this. Or, like, all of a sudden, like, yesterday I was like, oh my gosh, it's Chinese New Year. Like, we should have learned about that. So we'll probably, like, we'll talk about it this weekend and we'll do some certain things. Like, with homeschooling, you can make learning, you can make anything about learning. Anything, anything. It could be a movie. You could find a series on Netflix. We do that a lot. We're doing stuff like with middle ages and medieval times. And so having them, like, watch movies with that in there. You could even do, like, even funny movies or, like, Robin Hood, or I don't know. I feel like anything you can somehow make into learning. And then for my kids, a lot of times they'll ask me questions. Like, one day they were like, what is the Titanic? They were asking about the Titanic. And I was like, oh my gosh, cool. Yeah, let's learn about the Titanic. So we go to the library, we get some books and we watch the movie. And, you know, we watched a couple series that I found on TV about it. And some, they watched it on YouTube and the diver. And, like, I don't know. They, when they have questions about things, I'm like, oh, cool, learning experience, let's figure it out. Or if they ask me a question and I don't know the answer, that's another thing. I'm like, oh, cool, we'll make this into school right now. So you can, I don't know. I feel like you don't have to have super teaching abilities. There, you will have moments of frustration. I get frustrated. We have screaming and crying sometimes. But when we get like that, what I love about it is, if we're struggling with something and it gets that bad to where there's tears and screaming and crying involved, I say, okay, done. We're putting this away because clearly nothing good is going to come out of this right now. So let's put this book away. And what can we do instead? Maybe we could do something creative or even like go play with Legos, because you can make, that's like, you know, that's STEM work. That's something creative. That's using their brain. That's a form of school. So you could just kind of, like, you know, shift the learning, shift what they're doing, and revisit that at a later time. And a lot of times when we do that, my kids will get it right away because we're just in a better state of mind altogether, and it just makes it easier.
Yeah, that sounds like exactly what I would do. It's like, okay, we're getting frustrated. Let's put it away. Let's do something else.
Yeah. And the thing is, I mean, but that's the beauty of it, is that you can do that. And then you can know, like, for us, we were really struggling with things like, you know, multiplying and dividing fractions. It's been so long since I've done this stuff. So it's hard. I only know one way to explain it. And so when we get stuck on it, I'm like, okay, let's put it away. And then I'm able to go online and find other resources and different videos and reach out to, there's like a head person who I can reach out to for support for the charter. And I just explained to her, you know, hey, I need more resources, I need more support. And she's able to send me additional stuff that I could use. So they have, I don't know, they make it really easy. Okay. If you go through a good charter, they make it very easy for you.
Okay, that's good advice to look up for charters then.
Yes.
All right. So before we go, is there anything else that you want to, like, raise awareness for in terms of grief or depression or homeschooling or all three?
I feel like there's so much I could say about all three. Homeschooling's awesome. Grief is hard. And I don't know. I guess that's it.
Right. Well, with the depression part, it seemed like you were doing, well, not specifically you, but, like, you and him were doing everything that they tell you to do, right?
Yeah.
You know, look for a counselor, look for medication, look for other methods. And it just seemed that it wasn't enough, maybe, for him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the system, one thing that I really realized is that the mental health system is very broken. Yeah. It takes a really long time to get an appointment with a counselor. It takes like 6 to 8 weeks. And unless you do like some emergency measures, which luckily for me, I had done a lot of research. So I kind of knew some loopholes to get something quicker, which in hindsight, that's probably what I would do differently, for multiple reasons. But I had known our neighbor at the time, her 17-year-old son took his life about 6 months before my husband took his. And so I had seen from her experience how broken the mental health system was, because the same thing, he had tried to get the doctor. He had a doctor's appointment. It was 8 weeks out, and by 6 weeks, he had taken his life.
Yeah.
So that is something that definitely the system, if somebody is to the point to where they're feeling the need to see a therapist, 6 to 8 weeks is entirely too long. They need to be seeing somebody within a week or two, if not sooner.
Yeah, I would think 48 hours.
You know, absolutely.
Within a week, 48 hours if they're deep depression.
Absolutely.
I've had my battles with the mental health community, because my son is a schizoaffective, which is schizophrenia. Basically, the easiest way to explain it is schizophrenia and bipolar together, and he's been that way since he turned 16.
Okay.
And it's really hard to get help for him, and I would tell them, like, I'm afraid. I would tell them, I'm afraid for my safety, and that was the only way to get him in within 48 hours.
Yeah. I know. It's scary. But then I feel like it's almost like then they treat him like he's like a dangerous, bad person. You know what I'm saying? And they just need help. And so that's where the system is broken, because they just make it too difficult to get people the help they need. And oftentimes it's too late.
Right.
So yes, that's what I would want to raise awareness about, is that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Victoria. Where can my audience find you?
My website, www.yogimami.com. That's YOGIMAMI.com. And then at Instagram, I'm at the_yogi_mami.
Yes. Okay. And then your Facebook?
Just Yogi Mami over on Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll definitely link everything up for sure in the show notes. And thank you so much for making time for me to talk about these topics that it's hard. I know that it's hard and sometimes uncomfortable, but it really does help other people through it.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks. Yeah. Thank you for your time.